Brother Eli, will you come? Just will you be so kind just to come and open the word of prayer?
God bless you. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful once again this evening to be gathered as your people under your wings in your house, O Lord. We are really enjoying the freshness of your presence, O Lord. We came from many different places. We have been under different atmospheres, O Lord. But it's always safe. It's always peaceful when we are back home. It's always joyful, O Lord, to be gathered with our brethren, like-minded brethren, O Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for granting us your help, your watch, your protection, O Lord. We know we have been to places, our minds have been here and there, O Lord, that now that we are gathered under your wings in your presence, we are here to worship, we are here to praise, we are here to sing, we are here to minister you, O our Lord, to minister to you, O Lord. That's why we ask that you take now control of all our beings, O Lord. Our mind that are still where we have been all over the day, let us forget about ourselves. As always we sing, O Lord, let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on you. Let us really enter the spirit of worship where we will fellowship with you. You will take our needs, you will take our desires, and you will grant us your holiness. You will grant us peace. You will grant us rest, O Lord. Bless your servant as he will stand here to speak, O Lord. May you really inspire him. May you really give him something that will be the expectation of our hearts, O Lord. You know we came from different places. We came from different perspectives, O Lord, with different needs, Heavenly Father. Oh, but it's only you that know our hearts, and it's only you that can speak through our brother to meet every need, O Lord. We can recommend ourselves into your hand. Heal our disease, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we recommend our brother Clayton, who has lost a relative back in Zimbabwe, asking for your hand upon him, O Lord, to strengthen him, O Lord, to strengthen the whole family, O Lord. Once again, we are praising you, O Lord, for granting another year to our precious pastor, O Lord. We are celebrating his birthday today, but as we know, the true birthday is his new birth, O Lord. We thank you for granting us such an anointed minister, O Lord, who stands always in the gap to hear from you, to take from you, and to come and faithfully give us what you put in his heart, O Lord, for us, O Lord. We thank you. Bless him. Give him many blessed years, O Lord. Bless his family, O Lord. Give him a good health, give him peace, and give him rest, O Lord. Bless us as we commit this service into your hands, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. May God bless you. Amen. If sister can find the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often fought fair, oh, one needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything shouting to God in prayer. Heavy trials and temptation is the trouble anyway. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we found a friend so faithful? Oh, will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, burdened with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. If it's sickness that you feel and your body isn't well, remember he's the great physician, and in him all life dwell. Cast your case on Jesus and you'll find you'll soon be all. Believe his word and promise, all is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You might ask him for the salvation of one of your close relations. One you truly love is caught far away. Look unto the Lord and by faith stake your claim. Trust in God and call upon his name. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You may find you lost the passion, maybe because of your poor reaction. Life is in that fair, and does he really care? Look unto the Lord And you'll find he's always there. Believe his word and trust our God, he cares. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Maybe we can sing last song before Brother Wilma will come. We know there when Paul and Silas praying that night. There was much difficult situation, but they prayed. We're gonna pray today. Amen. Amen, and bless his name. Amen. In prison's chain, with bleeding strength, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light that turned away. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the prison in your mind, reach out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light that turned away. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out and pray, defy those chains, and find you not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light that turned away. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name.
your name. I bless your name.
Amen. The Lord bless you tonight, saints. May the Lord bless you indeed for coming out on a cold night.
Amen.
The first of winter services, you know.
Amen.
When winter strikes, normally it strikes the spiritual side too, but it's very encouraging to be here tonight with the saints. We really thank the Lord. I know there are some saints that wanted to be here tonight, could not come because of circumstances. So we'll be praying for them. They are joined with us on Zoom. I'm sure there's quite a number on Zoom. And it's really encouraging to start winter on a high note.
Amen.
So we thank God that winter won't strike our hearts as we
Amen.
Go deeper into it.
Amen.
That it will continue to shine inside of our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Vladimir, for the song. It was really on point.
Amen.
I bless your name, Paul and Silas. I bless your name.
Amen.
So I would like to invite you to the book of Psalm 103. I had intended to read from the book of Job first, but I think we'll read from the book of Psalm 103. And then we'll go to the book of Job, and I'll ask you to sit down before we jump over to Paul in the book of Acts. Psalm 103 from verse number 1, I shall read. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities,
Amen.
Who healeth all thy diseases,
Amen.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction,
Amen.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? No wonder we sing, I bless your name, I bless your name. Because nearly 100% of the people that are here tonight experienced this miracle.
Amen.
Where the Lord has forgiven us of our iniquities. Where he redeemed our lives from destruction.
Amen.
Many of us standing here, we could have been murderers in the world. We could have been thieves and all manner of things out there. But the Bible says he has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul,
Amen.
Who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Amen.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
Amen.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
And we would like to just go back to the previous book, the book of Job, chapter 19. This is a very familiar place where many have read before. Job 19, verse number 25. This is Job's great statement that he made in a great time of difficulty.
Amen.
And he says from verse number 25, well, perhaps we'll read from number 23. He says, oh, that my words were now written, or that they were printed in a book,
Amen.
That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever.
Amen.
I don't know if you realize what Job is talking about there.
Amen.
Oh, that my words were written. If you could get a pen, an iron pen, and engrave them in a rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I want to say something important here.
Amen.
And if this doesn't come to pass, call me a false prophet. You know, Brother Branham would say that when he says, thus said the Lord, has it ever failed? Here is Job saying, oh, that my words were written in a book. He's trying to tell you something, that what I'm about to say, if it doesn't come to pass, call me a false prophet. And what is this he's talking about? For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God,
Amen.
Whom I shall see for myself,
Amen.
And mine eyes shall behold not another,
Amen.
Though my reins be consumed within me.
Amen.
That's a great statement for any person to make, especially when you consider the circumstances that Job was in. And he stands up and makes this statement right here.
Amen.
which we would like to examine a little bit in our in the reading of the word and the preaching of the word tonight. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name tonight. Lord, we thank you for the things that you have done for us. Lord, when we consider, Lord, all the things that you have done in our lives, oh God, how we feel so small before you to know that you love and care for us, Lord. Us who are nothing, us who were nothing, who were unlovable, yet you have spent so much time and love and care for us, Father. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name tonight. Help us, Father, as we gather in this place, Lord. We are just desiring that once more you meet your promise, Lord, where you say two or three that gather in your name, you'll be with them in their midst, Lord. May you be with us tonight. Bless the saints that are at home, Lord, where they are gathered, Lord, before the screens, Lord, being with us in spirit, Lord. We pray that you visit each and every one of them in a special way. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. So I would really like to examine this statement that Job made. But before we do that, let's read another statement that we find in the book of Acts. I believe that it is Acts chapter 27. Paul makes another statement there as well. And we would like to look at these two together just to learn something that may help us tonight and in our Christian walk in the weeks and months to come. So we want to pick up from chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, from verse number 18. Acts 27, verse 18. And it says, "And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of a good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." That's a great declaration there. Because if you think of the circumstances that Paul was with the people that were in this ship, they were very difficult circumstances. I mean, I don't like to be on the water, you know. I don't know how many of you have experience of being on a ship. I've been on a ship a few times, but I don't sleep at all. I would rather fly and perish in an air crash than be in water. I don't know, maybe because I lost a cousin when we were young, we went swimming and she dived into the pool. We were so many kids, we never really noticed that she was missing. But she was at the bottom of the pool. Unfortunately, we lost her. So I've always been not very good with water. You know, I don't want to say afraid, but but Paul had been in this ship with these people, 276 souls, the Bible says. And he was a prisoner in that ship under guard. He was being delivered to Rome to stand before Caesar. But he had warned these people to say, don't take off. It's not going to be a good journey. But they went anyhow. And it so happened that as they went, they had good weather to begin with. A nice little breeze came and they were like, yeah, let's sail off. But it turned into a tempest. And before long, they lost control of the ship. They couldn't control the ship. It was being driven by the winds, this Euroclidon wind, that came and blasted the ship, and they couldn't control it. And in order to give themselves chances of survival, they began to lighten the ship, throw things off, all the important things they were carrying, they were throwing off until they even had to throw away the tackling of the ship. That's very important equipment that enables you to load and offload the ship. They were throwing that away because they were trying to give themselves a chance to save their lives. It was so bad, the Bible says, for 14 days and nights, neither sun nor stars shined. That's some circumstance. That's a very difficult time where you are on a ship, the sea is tempestuous, it's being moved left to right, waves, you don't know what direction you are taking, and there's no sunshine, there's no stars. I mean, at least if there's stars, you could say. But there was none of that. And you couldn't find land in any direction. They didn't know what direction they were going in. It was a very difficult circumstance to be in. And life can do that sometimes. It can bring you to a place where your mind can't interpret the circumstances. It's just overwhelmed until it just shuts down. You know? It just gets to a place where it shuts down because it can't interpret what is going on. This was a mind-boggling circumstance. For 14 days, it says after long abstinence, they were not eating good food. And I don't know if they were even sleeping to get some rest. I mean, you can't rest. 14 days, 276 men on a ship. Some of them prisoners, some of them soldiers. You can tell what kind of an atmosphere was on this boat after such a long time being in a place like that, until the Bible uses these words and it says that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They came to the end of themselves. There was no hope at all. Such were the circumstances that the computer, we call it, it just blue screen. It can't, it doesn't know what to do. It just died. The mechanics would say the car ceased, the engine ceased. It just died. There's nothing you can do. That's the place they were. But in the midst of that circumstance, for Paul to stand up and say to the people that were in this place for 14 days and 14 nights, all hope that they should be saved has been taken away, to stand up and say to them, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. None of you is going to perish. Amen. That's a bold statement to make under those circumstances. Amen. It's really in line with what Job was saying when we read in the book of Job chapter 19, where he says that, I know my Redeemer lives. And with my eyes, my very own eyes, not another, I will see him. Even though the skin worms would destroy this body. I mean, Job was in a terrible condition. You know, it wasn't just the circumstances around him, like Paul. Paul had difficult circumstances, but he was still able to talk, walk, and converse with people. Job, his circumstances went beyond that. Because Job was a great man, the Bible says. He had 10 children, 10. And they were old enough to hold parties in their own houses, you know. So they were not young anymore. Job had camels, he had sheep, he had cows. He was a man of substance. The Bible says he was rich. Amen. And he was a man that was upright and perfect. Amen. In the eyes of men and in the eyes of God. Amen. That's a serious, serious thing to be. Because in the day we are living in now, you can't. If you are perfect in the eyes of God, the world will call you crazy, you know. And if you are perfect in the eyes of men, woe unto you. You know, because these days there's not as many righteous people anymore. They don't strive for God's righteousness. Amen. They have their own ideas of what is good, you know, and whatever they decide is good, that's what goes. It might change down the line. And you must change with them. But in these days, the Bible says Job was perfect and upright in the eyes of God and men. He was blessed, he had God's wisdom. People would come and consult with him. And then one day, everything changed in his life. It was a perplexing moment to think you are this great man in the world. I mean, he was humble. And everything is going just right. And then all of a sudden, the reports begin to come. Your camels are taken. All your oxen are destroyed. All your sheep are gone. All your livestock is gone. Then on top of that, to hear that all your children are gone. Brother, I mean, I know what it's like to raise a child. Many of you here know. What about to raise 10 children and then have them all go at the same time? They are gone and you have nothing. That was a situation for Job, but it didn't end there because his health was affected. The Bible says he had sores from the crown of his head right to the soles of his foot. And he sat there scraping himself because they must have been itchy. What a place to be.
Amen.
And it went beyond that because his friends came and said, you must have sinned secretly. Why is this happening to you? I mean, you were doing well all this time. We all looked up to you. Then all of a sudden, you must have sinned secretly. False accusations. He was in quite a place, this man. And then his wife comes around with, you know, human compassion, you know, Brother Eli, you know. She must have felt sorry for him, you know, and say, well, I have a solution. Why don't you curse God and die? But Job knew you don't sacrifice the truth, you know, for compassion, you know. People do that these days, you know. You know, you should be compassionate, you know, to people of this, that, and the other. No, you don't sacrifice the truth for that.
Amen.
And Job showed us. But in that condition that Job was, where he has lost everything, his mind is having a hard time processing what is happening. His friends are accusing him. His wife is coming from this angle saying all this and that. For Job to stand up and say, write this down. Write this down. If it doesn't come to pass, I'm a false prophet. I know my Redeemer lives. And in the last day, he shall stand upon this earth. And with my very own eyes, these eyes that you are looking at, this man, the Bible says the skin worms were eating his body. A person that sits there and the skin worms are eating the body. What hope is there? It's the same condition like Paul was. All hope that he should be saved was taken away. And in that condition, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Even if these skin worms destroy my body, yet with my very own eyes, not another, I will see him. These people made serious, bold statements. At a time, you know, it's easy to claim things when things are going right. You know? When things are going right, it's very easy to claim things. But when things have come to a place like this, there's something that differentiates people. When things come to a place like this, where it's so perplexing, some people, their minds just shut down. You know, they crash. Blue screen of death. But there's another caliber of people that when things come to a place like this, where it's a very difficult place, you can't process it with the human mind, they say, I know my Redeemer lives. They say, be of good cheer. None of you will perish. I mean, if you look at it, there's no hope that they should be saved. But Job, Paul, they had something. They had something else that a lot of people lack. I mean, we all claim we have faith in God, you know. Faith in God, faith in God. But these men had faith in God. They had faith in God. And if you want to look at Paul, Paul is the man that wrote the book of Hebrews. Faith cometh by hearing. And when this thing was happening, I didn't have time to trace today to see whether he wrote that scripture before or after this event. But Paul wouldn't have had the scriptures that you and me have to read. He didn't.
Amen.
Much worse, Job. Job didn't have as much. It's the first book written in the Bible. It's the oldest book. There was nothing that Job could refer to and say, well, Psalms 103, the Lord healeth all my diseases. He didn't have that. But they still had faith in God.
Amen.
And their faith in God produced something. Because at the very hour where they needed God the most, something came from within and it proclaimed and said, I know my Redeemer lives. I'll see him. I am going to see him, even if these worms are going to destroy this body and my reins are destroyed within me, I know I'll see him. That was something. It was faith through the experiences they had with God. And those experiences, the prophet says, it must do something in you.
Amen.
When you see an experience of God, when a brother comes and stand here and give a testimony, it must do something to you.
Amen.
It must raise that faith you have in you to a higher extent where you can overcome whatever things that are coming against you.
Amen.
Even when you think of your own testimonies. That's why I write my testimonies. Because I know the time will come when I need them. And the enemy has come and I need to read something to encourage myself in the Lord. I believe Job was that kind of a person. If in his days that he lived, he had Psalm 103, he would have sat down and said to someone, read for me again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that healeth all my diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. But many times we don't go there. But if you can understand the power of faith, that it can bring circumstances back to where you want them again, you won't neglect those things. No, you wouldn't. Because there is power in them. Job must have had experiences with God. For him to eschew evil, the Bible says. He hated evil. Every time his children had a party, even if they didn't do anything wrong, he would come and offer sacrifice.
Amen.
And pray on behalf of his children. Peradventure, they have sinned against the Lord.
Amen.
He had had certain experiences with God, and he knew that in order to walk with God and to keep the blessing of God in my family, I've got to walk a certain way.
Amen.
And those experiences paid through when the time of trouble came. The same thing with Paul. Paul didn't have the book of Hebrews to read. He wrote one copy and sent it off. You know? He wrote the book of Timothy and sent off a copy. You know, he didn't have, okay, let me take a picture so I can read later. No, but Paul had experiences with God. And through those experiences, when things began to happen, he knew that whatever God says, it will come to pass. Brother, after 14 days on the sea, not a calm sea, a tempestuous sea. It was so rough that when this boat finally lodged itself in a place where it couldn't move the front, the waves came, it says it blasted the back of the boat and broke it into two. That's a heavy tempest. This is the kind of waters they survived for 14 days and 14 nights. Without sun, without stars, without anything, without sense of direction. And then the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. And with his experiences, it rose that faith in him. He knew that this is the same God. When we were in prison with Silas and we prayed, he came and he opened the gates of this prison and we walked out. And he knew this is the same God. Because if you read again in the book of Acts, it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, though thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God has given thee all them that sail with you.
Amen.
That's why he could come and stand before the people. Say, fear not, be of a good cheer. None of you is going to die. We might lose the ship. You see what God done for Paul? He showed him the end state of something. And Paul knew, whatever happens between now and then, I must stand before Caesar.
Amen.
There's nothing that can happen. There's no amount of snake bites that can bite me and kill me as long as I haven't stood before Caesar.
Amen.
That's why Job knew that I'm going to be fine. Because God had showed him something. That one day your Redeemer will stand upon this earth. And with your very own eyes, you are going to see the Messiah. What a wonderful thing that God does. But these people, if you notice, like we already said, they didn't have much like what we have in our days. In the message, have faith in God, the prophet begins and he says, my subject is have faith in God. Now we are taught in God's blessed word that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. And by the hearing of the word. Now faith is also an experience. Many times faith is heard by a former experience makes faith grow.
Amen.
A former experience. No one can come and tell you that it didn't happen to you. Because it happened to you. No matter how many people may not believe what you are saying, you know that this happened to me. I was there. I'm the person it happened to. And that can help your faith in a time of need. Former experiences make faith grow. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that's not seen. So many people fail to find the real meaning of what faith is. Some people believe that faith is some sensation or some emotion. But the Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for. I like this message. If you go read it, he preached it a few times. And in down the message, he explains how when he's hungry and he's about to die of hunger, and he says, I need a loaf of bread. And someone comes and gives you 25 cents to go buy the loaf of bread. He says, even though I don't have the bread, but I have the purchasing power of the bread, I will rejoice as if I already have the bread. Because you know the moment you hit the shop. He says, I might have to travel far to get to the shop. I might get weaker and weaker as I go there. But because I know I have the purchasing power, I know that I will get that bread.
Amen.
Now something that is a mental conception of the word. But that's not right. Faith is a substance.
Amen.
It's a substance. Faith is not a myth. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence. To have an evidence, it must be a substance. It's not just something that you imagine in your mind. It's something that absolutely you have. It's something that you possess in your own being. And what is it? It's the evidence of things that you have hoped for. Is the evidence of things you do not have as yet, but you have the authority of God to say that you have it.
Amen.
That's faith there.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen, amen.
It's evidence, something you have in your heart.
Amen.
And there is what Paul was saying, that there stood before me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore says, be of good cheer, for I believe God.
Amen.
That it shall be even as it was told me.
Amen.
How did he know that?
Amen.
He had an experience with God before. Paul was relying on that to know that this God who's telling me that it will be this way is the same one who appeared with me when I was with Silas in prison. And he got that authority to say, be of good cheer, says. Nothing will come to you. And Job, I think we already spoke about this one, where he says that my eyes shall behold and not another. Okay, we'll talk about this one afterwards. But these people that we have spoken about, they didn't have as much experiences to refer to like you and me have. They had very little. We've got loads. Where we read in the book of Psalm 103, it speaks even about the children of Israel. And he says, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. We have all those experiences that we can refer to help our faith in a time when we need it the most. You know, they had so little to refer to, where we have a lot more to refer to. And one of them that I would like to mention briefly is Jesus Christ himself. My, Jesus Christ himself. He carried the cross and walked up that hill to Calvary, basing everything on one scripture that you find in the book of Psalms. I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Amen. Nowhere else do you find in the Bible where it says that I will raise him up on the third day. It's in the New Testament. Jesus said that. So for him to carry that cross, going up that hill, knowing I'm going to die for these people, and on the third day raise again, basing it on one scripture. See the power of scripture.
Amen.
Job didn't have any. He had experiences.
Amen.
Paul didn't have much to refer to. He had experiences. But look at what Jesus had. One. And he went to Calvary on that. And there he died and gave his life for you and me. And on the third day, just as scripture said, it happened.
Amen.
No wonder Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. This written word.
Amen.
That's why we read in the book of Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
My, when we read these things, they must do something to us.
Amen.
Because this word is more sure than an angel that would come and speak here tonight. If an angel would appear here in this church tonight and speak something, we have to find out if it's correct in the Bible. Yet we have this written word. And Peter says, you do well if you take heed of this word.
Amen.
What has been said. And we have this sure word of prophecy. And it speaks of these things to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
My, this written word, it must do something to you and to me.
Amen.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities,
Amen.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
Amen.
Every one of us here can raise our hands tonight. If we were to ask how many have experienced this verse, that the Lord has healed you of your diseases, we can raise our hands. Miracles that we can write. Another book of Acts that we can write, even just with the people that are here tonight. We could write a book of Acts. Just experiences of healing only in our lives. And then if we go beyond that and begin to examine how the Lord has forgiven all our iniquities. The second volume of the book of Acts.
Amen.
Everybody here has a serious story to tell.
Amen.
Of how the Lord has forgiven us our iniquities. How he has transformed us from what we were to what we are tonight.
Amen.
And has crowned our lives with kindness.
Amen.
I mean,
Amen.
I know one brother. He was a very angry man. Very angry. I know him. He nearly killed Brother Andrew. You know Brother Robert. From way back. He threw a knife at the pastor to kill the man. You know? And one day I went with him where we were trying to get a car or some spare parts for a car or what. And the people cheated us. I could see that what they did, they took a part from our car and put a bad one in. Brother Robert took my hand and he said, let's go in the car, Brother Will. these people are not good. They cheated us. Let's go. And we drove away. And he said, Brother Will, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I know I'm saved. In my old days, I wouldn't stand a person to cheat me like. And he was a serious, strong man. He could have done real damage to those people with one blast of his hand. He said, I know I'm saved. Because those people, you saw what they did. And in my old days, I know how I would have reacted. But something in my heart.
Amen.
There was something in my heart. It just moved me to say, let's get out of here before Brother Wilmore gets angry. You know, not him, you know. These things are true. They are true, what we could have been and what we are today. It's something that ought to raise your faith in a time of need.
Amen.
when there's something that has come against you, something is threatening you, something is putting you in a difficult corner, and the enemy thinks he's got you. Think of those things. How the Lord has transformed you. How the Lord has transformed some of our families. How he has healed you from things that other people have never recovered from. God has done that. I mean, we've got serious testimonies here. We can start from Sister Bibish. We can go across there and speak of William. I think, was it William who had the things when he was born? They put Tabitha. Yeah. And we could continue going through this room. My wife is sitting there. Oh, she wouldn't be sitting there today. But look, she's actually holding that little boy.
Amen.
God has done serious things for us that we ought to, it ought to do something to our faith. Because when we look at other people in the Bible, where these things happened to them, and they used that in a time of need, it raised their faith and put them somewhere.
Amen.
We read of David today. How did David know that I'm going to get that Goliath? God didn't come like he came to Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, David. That Goliath will be gone by tonight." You don't find that in the scripture. But the prophet says, David thought of his testimonies, the experiences that he had in the bush when the lion and the bear came against the sheep. And he delivered a sheep from the mouth of the lion. And he slew that lion and killed it. My. And when he stood there and this Philistine was speaking and mocking the armies of the living God, David was like, "What? How can he say that to the armies of the living God?" That's all David had. He had a motive, and he had a good motive and an experience with God. And he used that, and he said, "By nightfall, the birds will eat your head." Experiences. You see how far we live beyond our privileges. If you could just think of how God delivered brother so-and-so when they were in such a situation, and you are in a similar situation. Brother, this valley looks the same, huh? That's all. Yeah, this valley looks familiar. I know this, I've been through here before, or my brother has been through here before.
Amen.
And it ought to do something to your faith and put you in a place where you know the battle is over.
Amen.
As we invite our brother Vladimir again to lead us in a couple of songs, that's the same thing. Even Nathaniel did the same thing. When he was praying and waiting for the Messiah to come. And I think Philip came and he called him and said, "Come see a man. Come see this man." And he came and he saw Jesus do something. And he just saw. Jesus just said, "Thou art an Israelite in whom there is no guile." He experienced something with Jesus. And immediately he said, "Thou art the Messiah." My. You see how he moved from where he was to where he got to be. Because of an experience that happened to him, even the disciples, when they were walking with Jesus, and Jesus looks at this fig tree, and there's no fruits on it. And he says, "From today, no man eat from you again." They didn't pay much attention. But when they came back tomorrow, I mean, Jesus could have just sat down the disciples and say, "I've got another sermon for you. Have faith in God. Whatsoever you desire, if you ask when you pray and believe, it shall be done."
Amen.
You can say to this mountain, "Be moved," and it will move. But Jesus had to create this whole picture for them where he comes to this tree. He knew there was no figs. It was out of season. And he came and he said, "No man eat from you again." What is he talking about? They must have wondered. But the following day they come and Peter says, "Master, the tree that you cast, look, it's withered." That's not an easy thing to happen. I mean, you don't see a healthy tree today and tomorrow it's ready for firewood. We grew up in Africa, we know. I think in Poland they do the same thing. No. But he saw it. It was an experience to him to say the master can say something and it will happen as he said. Amen. Just as much as the same God who said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. Here is the same God saying, let no man eat from you, and the tree is dead, dead, dead completely.
Amen.
Then Jesus says, have faith in God.
Amen.
So when you think tonight about your own salvation, you don't have to consult someone else's salvation. When you think of your own salvation, where God took you from and where you are today as a child of God, at the end of that thinking, have faith in God.
Amen.
Say that to yourself.
Amen.
Have faith in God. When you think of how he healed you, when it was a difficult thing for you, I mean, many times we say, I'm sick, I'm sick. And those around us sympathize and have compassion, but they can never really know what you're going through.
Amen.
And then from nowhere, brother, he came and healed you. And you know, of all people, you are the one who knows. That was a true and just miracle.
Amen.
That God did.
Amen.
He healed me.
Amen.
When you think of that testimony, at the end of it, have faith in God, because he gave it for a reason, so that when circumstances arise again, you can refer back and have faith in God.
Amen.
Let's sing a song before we come to prayer.
Be of good courage, God spoke unto Joshua, and in the river he pointed away. Jordan uncrossable, things seem impossible. Waters divide as they march and obey. Go any river you think are uncrossable. Go any mountain you can't tunnel to. God specializes in things that are impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Battles to win, they would meet with their obstacles. Jericho's wall too must fall to the ground. God never failed this to beg on his promises. Was it to crumble as they march around? Go any river you think are uncrossable. Go any mountains you can't tunnel to. God specializes in things that are impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. God is the same, and his word is dependable. He'll make a way through the waters for you. Life situations by him are amendable. Mountains and hills he will part for you too. Go any rivers you think are uncrossable. Go any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things that are impossible, and he will do what no other power can do.
Amen. Let's come to a time of prayer, saints. Have faith in God. God will do what no other power can do, the song is saying. And you can testify to that tonight. The things that he has done, the answered prayers that you have said in silent and nobody knows about, And then it just happens and God answers that prayer. That's the same God that we are serving tonight. Let's come to a time of prayer and remember the saints that could not be with us, those that are in mourning, our sister Talent, Brother George also couldn't make it tonight. He's at home. His leg is very painful. A little accident from the wedding last weekend. And also Sister Prayer regarding her papers. And these things, we have experienced them before. Amen. There was a time in this church where a lot of people didn't have papers. But God answered prayer. That's exactly what happened. He answered prayer and those people have papers tonight. Isn't that right? Many, many testimonies that we can say regarding this one here. So it's a finished story for Sister Priya. Because we know that the same God that provided these papers will provide for Sister Priya as well. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, God, how we thank you tonight for your grace and your mercies, Lord. When we think of the things that you have done for us, Father. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much that you have saved us from a life of sin and you have made us into a different creation after thy righteousness. How we love to follow thy statutes, Lord. How we love to walk before you with a clean heart. Oh God, there's so many things against us now in this world, but none of that faces us, Lord. We desire to do one thing and one alone, and that is to worship you, that is to honor your holy name, that is to raise
Amen. May take your seats briefly, saints. A little story that I like. You'll find this in a number of messages, but the prophet, when he went to visit Finland, a lot of wonderful things happened there. And I suppose the most familiar or popular of the things that happened in Finland was something that he had already seen years ago when he was still in America, of this little boy that was struck by a car and died. And he walked up there and prayed for this boy, and the boy lived again. So that's quite a thing. I mean, if you ever see someone struck by a car and all the things that happened and this child being pronounced dead and then him praying for this child, I mean, declaring to say, if this child is not up in the next few minutes, I'm a false prophet. That's serious. And so obviously it made a lot of news in Finland, so much so that the following day, a lot of people were very interested in coming to the meetings. Because of that, there were some arrangements made, you know, with soldiers, you know, to keep people from mobbing around the prophet. And he had a certain route that he had to walk through to the church. People were already singing in the church, you know, Only Believe, the song that he usually comes to the pulpit on. And they were singing this song, and these soldiers were leading him to the church through another way, you know, and it passed through like a dormitory for little orphan children. And it was when he was walking in through there, there was a little girl, a Finnish girl. She was a war orphan. Her parents had been killed in the war. And this girl wanted to meet the prophet. She so much wanted to get near to him. But she was afraid because they had been instructed not to do that, to disturb this man of God. But she so much wanted that she had to go against that, and she was crippled because one of the legs was shorter, and really it was lifeless, this leg. So she had these crutches that she used to walk, and the prophet describes how she used to walk with these crutches, and it wasn't easy for the little girl. And I like this story so much because of certain things in this story. This little girl is a Finnish girl from Finland, and she didn't know how to speak English. And the prophet didn't know how to speak Finnish. And here is two people meeting there, and this one wants something, and this one wants to give something, but because of a language barrier, it seemingly seems like the devil had a field day that day. But I would like to read for you part of this story that we are talking about. So this is the prophet now walking in this dormitory, and he sees this little girl wants to come to him. And he says, so I motioned for her like that. I don't know what kind of an action he did. She couldn't understand nothing I said, and I couldn't understand what she would say. So I motioned to her, and she put her little crutches out like this. She threw a little limp like that, and I just stood still. The other two officers went up there and stopped and looked back. But I was standing here, and the other two standing behind me. She walked right up to where I was. And I wondered what the child was going to do. She walked real close to me about like this, and she stopped. She had her little head down. Reverend. She set her little crutches out. She got a hold of my coat like that, raised it up and kissed my coat pocket and dropped it back down like that and pulled. It was a very typical little Finnish way. You know, the way she pulled her skirt, I think they do it some way there when they're saying something like that. And she said, kitos, which means thank you. And I looked at the little thing. I looked again.
God would have to respect faith like that. This girl had heard something happened. She had heard of this boy that had died in the car accident the very previous day, who was hit by a car and died there, and the prophet prayed for this boy, and he was raised from the dead. There were two boys. The other was still in hospital at this point. And so, because of this experience that she heard of something happened, it raised her faith. It's not the first time it happened in the ministry of the prophet, but I like this story so much. You know, the other time when the man, what is that man who, with the newspaper, you know? Yeah, he had seen something, some experience. So here is this girl hearing what had happened, and her coming not so much to say anything or to ask of anything, but just to come and bless this man of God. And she came and kissed this jacket like this and said, thank you. In another message, the prophet says, he says that the angel had told him, if you can get them to believe you, nothing will stand before you, even cancer. That was the first time he spoke about this story. He said that, he quoted that part, and so in this, relating with this story, he was saying this girl had believed her. He, the prophet, had managed to get this girl to believe him as a prophet of God, and therefore nothing could stand before him, even these crutches and this lifeless leg. No wonder he said God would have to respect faith like that. Just couldn't go. I looked and I seen the shadow above the little girl, and I seen her going, walking off just as normal. Amen. So he sees a vision of this girl walking off just as normal, because God had respect unto faith like that. Amen. But he couldn't tell her anything. She was a Finnish girl. He was an Englishman. And I said, sweetheart, you are healed, honey. Jesus Christ has made you. And the fans kept pushing like that. They thought I was going to take too much time with the little girl. And they supposedly singing Only Believe in there in Finnish and kept on. And I thought, oh God, surely someday she will understand it. And I went on in. That night, after they had been called several times in the prayer cards, then I was just about ready to go, and something said, call again. See what faith can do. No matter what the devil can try to do, when God has given it to you and you have that evidence to know this is mine, there's nothing can stop it. It has to happen. Even your own unbelief after that can't stop it. It says, call again. And my brother got me by the coat and said, come on to go, you know. And I said, just a minute. Let's call 10 more people. And I said, call for prayer card number so and so. He didn't continue from the numbers that he was using. He started at another number. So maybe at the beginning they started 1, 2, 3, 4 up to a certain number. And then here he says, oh, maybe they finished at 40. Now he says, call again, call number 70. Just an arbitrary number. My. Oh, just then I said, now, while you're getting ready, I would like to have a drink. And I heard something rattle. And God, in his all-wise providence, the next little thing on the platform was that little girl. Isn't God amazing? When we hear of these experiences, this is real. Amen. It really happened like that. Amen. The rest of this story is amazing in itself. Amen. That she came to the pulpit and was told, go and remove your crutches. And as she went there, they removed the crutches a certain way, and the leg became alive again. Amen. And it became some size like the other leg. Amen. I mean, what more should we read about? These things are true. Even to hear there was a boy that was struck by a car and he was prayed for and he lived again. What else should we read? Amen. You know, there's no movies that can make these kind of things. Amen. This is our God in action. He did this for this little Finnish girl, and we read about it today. Experiences that are supposed to raise our faith when we hear them. And when we spend time reading these things, no wonder we can declare when we stand here and people give prayer requests. And Brother George says, my leg is painful. Pray for me, saints. I can't even make it to church tonight. I mean, we're reading about a girl whose leg was lifeless. Amen. I believe that Brother George will be healed. Amen. If we pray for him tonight. Amen. Even Sister Prayer, when she sends a prayer request and say, this visa thing that she applied for, it's a special dispensation that the government of Ireland, they opened for people in a situation to apply for visas. And many people have got that now. Our sister is still waiting for it. And you know what I believe? I believe God opened that dispensation so she could benefit. It was for her benefit. Amen. The other people are only benefiting on her back. And I believe that it's for Sister Prayer. Amen. I believe that 100%. Why? Because it happened to me. Amen. The way I came to Ireland, they opened a certain dispensation, and the last visa they issued on that dispensation for architects was mine. Amen. The last one they will issue is for our sister. Amen. She will have her papers. Let's pray for them tonight. Let's pray for the service on Sunday. Let's pray for the Sunday school. Let's pray for Sister Talent. Losing a little sister is not something that is easy to deal with. It's a perplexing thing. But in that moment, we know what God can do. Amen. If we pray for her tonight, and our brother Clayton being far from his wife, it's not easy. I don't know if there are any prayer requests in the congregation.
My little nephew, he is 1 year old, and my son, he broke his leg very bad. He had to go to hospital to London, and he had like a bonus and everything. He was going to take skin from one leg.
Grafted.
Mm-hmm. But they waited what happened, so he just remembered his leg. God will completely make a new.
Amen. How many people believe that? Amen. I mean, we have testimonies here of people. Nicoletta sitting there, she got burnt with water. We were praying for her here. You remember that? I don't know what class burn was it, but she was supposed to be scarred for the rest of her life. There's not a single scar left. I mean, God can do that. And I believe that for that little boy, speaking of legs tonight, you know, God wants to do something. If there are no other prayer requests, let us get in our prayer position. We can put these requests before the Lord before we ask Brother Eli to come and close for us in prayer just briefly. Our dear Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we come before you to thank you for the things that you have done. When we read of these things, Lord, we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same God that we are worshiping tonight. Lord, we thank you. We believe.
Thank you.
Shall we sing this song before we pray? Alleluia
is an answer in God. Alleluia is an answer in God. Oh, when I pray in Jesus' name, Jesus.
Amen.
Faith by experience.
Amen.
How impacting is it in our life, oh Lord? Amen. How significant it is in our life.
Amen.
Because all our life is an experience of
Amen.
Your power.
Amen.
In many difficult situations we are in, oh Lord.
Amen.
As your servant, our brother, said, if we start to testify, we'll write another book of Acts today,
Amen.
O Lord. There's so many things you have done for us, O
Amen.
Lord. So much that it should boost our faith day after day, O Lord.
Amen.
But because of our human nature, we always forget. Like those that were before the Red Sea, just a few days before, they forgot that your mighty hand was performing mighty miracle, O Lord. When there was darkness on the other side of the country, they were rejoicing in the sunshine, O Lord. When they were crying there because there was this and that happening to them, they were enjoying peace and quietness, O Lord. But just a few days later, when they were facing a different challenge, they forgot about that God.
My.
Oh Lord, let us not be forgetful people.
Amen.
Anything that happened, oh Lord, let us refer back
Amen.
To our lion and our bear, oh Lord.
Mm.
How we overcame them, oh Lord.
Amen.
That same God that gave us overcoming power, that same God that gave us victory, oh Lord, is the same God that will take us through any kind of situation that will stand before
Amen.
Us, O Lord. As you said to Joshua, no one will stand before thee.
Amen.
As long as we stand in your word, as long as we build on those past experiences, O Lord, to build our faith, O Lord, we believe, O Lord, that we'll always be victorious.
Amen.
No matter the circumstances.
Yes.
No matter even if it's 14 days without sunshine,
Amen.
Without
Amen.
Stars, under a storm, oh Lord. The boat sinking almost, oh Lord. But that answering God will come and
Amen.
Will stand and will rescue us from any different kind of situation,
Amen.
Maybe, oh Lord.
Amen.
Like Job will always say, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen.
Let us build like David before that Goliath, O Lord.
Mm.
When that mountain will arise, O Lord,
let
us draw our strength from that experience back in the backside of the desert, O
Amen.
Lord, when we kill the lion and the bear, O Lord.
Yeah.
We thank you for that.
Amen.
Bless your servant, O Lord, for this powerful inspiration, O Lord. Let you grant him the deepest desire of his heart,
Amen.
O Lord.
Amen.
Father, now we commit our request into your hands, O Lord.
Amen.
We remember many years back, as it was said here, we were paperless in this country, O Lord. We didn't know whether we would stay or whether we would be sent back from where we came from, O Lord. But in an unexplained way, you made the way, O Lord.
Amen.
Where they seemed, in the midst of the recession, O Lord, when this country people were emigrating, going away because the country economy was destroyed, O Lord. You made the way, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you granted us residence in these countries, O Lord. You are the same God today.
Amen.
And how much more today, when the country is booming, O Lord, you can do the same thing again.
Amen.
Grant it for your glory, O Lord. Amen. Our sister Priya, we confess that she has obtained a residency, O Lord.
Amen.
It is sitting somewhere. Amen. And you will hearken the heart of that man,
yes.
O Lord, or that
yes,
woman.
Lord.
She will take it and
Amen.
Sign it over, O Lord, and send it off, O Lord.
Mm.
We believe in the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Our brother Clayton and his wife, O Lord,
please,
comfort them at this time of hardship, O Lord, they are going through. Bless the family. Give them strength to overcome this challenge, O Lord. And let them come more stronger after this.
Yes.
Because there's always a hidden teaching behind this experience
Amen.
You are taking us through, O Lord. Bless once again your servant, our pastor. Grant
Amen.
Him many more years to come. Give
Amen.
Him more inspiration. Give him, O Lord, commitment, more commitment to your word, O Lord.
Amen.
Bless our brother George. Heal him, O Lord.
Amen.
Remember that little boy, brother Greg, was mentioning, O Lord. You did it previously in our midst. You can do it again, O Lord.
Amen.
Heal him in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Brother Maxwell and brother Mike down there in Romania, bless them and let their stay, O Lord, be a real blessing.
Amen.
Whatever they will do there, if they will stand and open their mouths for your people, let it be a blessing, O Lord.
Amen.
We commit the oncoming service on Sunday. Bless all the ministering, O Lord.
Amen.
Bless the singing. Bless the song leaders. Bless the Sunday school teachers. Everything that will be done.
Amen.
Let it be for your glory as we depart in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. Amen. Thank you so much. May God bless you, saints. Brother Vladimir, do you want to dismiss us with a song?
Blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
First to a sister.
When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the day goes by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your
blessings, see what God is done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with a land and gold, thinking that home is you, his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Come, your blessings, see what God has done. Come, your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So what mid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angel will attain. Help and comfort gave you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Come. Your blessings, see what God is done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God is done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.